I'm muted. My wife wishes I was muted most of the time. Is that all it takes is a button, brother? You got to tell her where the button's at then. So she can mute me. She's tried that for 47 years. It hasn't worked. God gave Moses a pattern, and he called this pattern, this building was called the tabernacle. And there were seven pieces of what we call furniture, which went from a brazen altar, because prior to Jesus Christ, there were sacrifices, animal sacrifices. They had to be, blood had to be shed. The sacrifices were burned. The next piece of furniture as you worked your way in was the laver. All right. That's where the priest, because now he had blood on his hands, he had blood on his feet. All right. They're in the desert. And the priest would wash his hands in that laver. And that laver, as he looked down, there was looking glasses. There was mirrors in the bottom of that bowl. And when he looked down, he saw himself. All right. And he realized he was a sinner, and the shedding of this blood was now covering his sin until the next animal was shed. All right. And as they worked their way into an inner building, if you could just kind of picture the poles here, like the inner building, as you worked your way in and you walked through the door, all right, there was, which was nothing more than a curtain. Now, here's where I want you to see something. As we begin to read in Exodus chapter 37 here, if you can picture curtains, boards rather, and then animal skins and heavy curtains all the way over this inner part of our main auditorium, there was no light inside not the holiest of all, but the holy place. There was no light inside there, no natural light. And this is the point I want to get across tonight. It's not a new point for us. But the only light that they had as they walked in there and that curtain closed, it was without this right here, there was no light. The sun, the natural light, nobody lit up a camel and started to smoke. All right? It was non-existent. This was the only light that they had. The table of showbread was on one side. The candlestick was on the other. You worked your way then to the veil where the altar of incense was at. Behind the altar of incense, we know there was the Ark of the Covenant that had the Word of God in it. There was the mercy seat on top. And that's where God led the children of Israel. We know by a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. That's where the glory of God was. But the work that was done inside, the showbread, and all the work that was done inside of that holy place, the only light they had was this. The only light that you have today. Now, that wasn't a very big thing, by the way. It was bigger than this, but it wasn't that big. Well, we're going to see something from the scriptures, and we're going to read this. And you're going to say, what in the world is he talking about? Because not that this is hard to understand, but here's what you can. When I first got saved, it was read, 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 read. And if you just came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, you must read. Read, 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 read. But here's what we do not want you to do. Do not speed read your Bible. Okay? I have a hard time anymore reading my Bible through. I know I do my best to do it, but my problem after 40 plus years is I get stuck. Amen, brother? You get stuck. And then your mind goes over here, so I run over here. And then my mind goes over here, so I run over here. And then my mind's up there, so I run up here. And I'm running all over my Bible because why I do that and how I can do that? It's because I've read it and I've read it and I've read it. And all of a sudden, God brings something back to your mind. Because the only light that you have tonight, listen to me, The only light you have tonight in this dark world is this. It's the only light you have. In case you haven't grabbed a hold of the truth by now, President Obama, pray for him, but he ain't going to give you any light. Okay? Not unless he gets saved and starts reading his Bible. Okay? And I don't hate him. You know what I do? My Bible tells me, once again, see, I've read the book. Bible tells me I'm supposed to pray for him, not condemn him. Jesus Christ was born into the most totalitarian society in all the world. Caesar was God. And there have been many gods, men who have tried to elevate themselves to God. But here's, I want to read this. Look at verse 17 with me. Look at verse 17. Now we're going to read this. And we'll go back. And because what we're going to read, that candlestick was not smooth. I don't know if you can see that all the way in the back, but there's like knobs. This is an artist's rendition, obviously. But there's little knobbies all over this thing, and little clusters. And there's going to be a word called a knop. What a crazy word, huh? K-N-O-P. It was like a bud. All right? It was like just a knob on a bud on a flower. Let's just read. And he made the candlestick of pure gold, because every one of those pieces of furniture had a specific purpose. Let's just look at this one. 17 of chapter 37. And he made the candlestick of pure gold, of beaten work made he the candlestick. His shaft and his branches, his bowls. Now, did you catch something already? Did you catch a personal pronoun? His. Always watch these little words that we run over that never seem to mean much until we slow down and realize he just personified something. His bowls. His knops, there's that little crazy word. His flowers were of the same. Don't worry about this. Let me read. Six branches going out of the sides thereof, three branches of the candlestick out of one side thereof, three branches of the candlestick out of the other side thereof. Three bowls made after the fashion of almonds in one branch, a knop and a flower. And three bowls made like almonds in another branch, a knop and a flower. So throughout the six branches going out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick, I told you weren't going to understand this. Some of you are already saying, good night, I should have stayed home and watched something else on TV tonight. All right. No, just stay with me. Just stay with me and I'll tell you why. God's going to give you a clue as to what your light is today, all right? And he's going to give you a clue. This is how much God loves you and loves me and loves his family. This is how much he even loves the lost. Because you see, he didn't have to go into all this detail. But in this detail, he's going to show you where your light is at today. He's going to show you, and we're going to look at it. And so I've got things written down here that probably I know you can't see because I've taught this for years and years and years and years. All right. But what you have right here, we're gonna look at all these little, we're going to look at these bowls and we're going to look at where they were at with these knops and these flowers. Let's continue to read. Verse number 20. And in the candlestick, the main candlestick itself, were four bowls made like almonds, his knops and his flowers, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, and a knop under two branches of the same, according to the six branches going out of it. Their knops and their branches were of the same. All of it were... Now, this is a very important thing here. All of it was one beaten work of pure gold, simply meaning this. This entire thing was one piece. So the artisan, the craftsman, he didn't take he wasn't a welder. All right, none of this was welded together. None of this was soldered. That you're talking about craftsmanship. This entire thing, that's what your Bible says. The Bible says all of it was one beaten work of pure gold. It's a very important statement. Now, let's just take what we read and just kind of put it on to what we're looking at. What we read was there's going to be a bowl, a knop, and a flower. Each one of the, here you have your main shaft. Now you've got three branches coming out one side, and you can see the light because it was filled with oil, beaten of olive. All right. And it never went out, by the way. It was never supposed to go out. And you had three branches that came to the other side. But if you take what was said and just kind of slow down. Now, again, if you've just gotten saved, you're going to read that and you're going to be like I was 45 years ago. You're going to say, Lord, I'm happy to be saved. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I don't understand any of this, but these guys tell me to keep reading and the book's going to change my life. And you know what I did? I figured, you know what, these old timers know more than I do about this. And they love God, I can tell that, because they're not drunk anymore, and don't beat their wives, and they're not in prison, and they're just good men, and they've all had their backgrounds, and some of them were, you know, I mean, they all had their backgrounds. But they came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and they tell me as a young believer, listen, don't worry about what you understand. You just keep reading. I can guarantee you 9 times out of 10, God's going to say something you don't understand. And after 45 years, I can tell you what, there's a good percentage that I still don't understand. As I've jokingly said, you get me into the book of Ezekiel, and I am lost. Okay, my mind has a hard time with wheels flying in wheels and things going here, and my mind just won't wrap around those things. But you know what? That's between me and God. All right, that's not between me, you, and God. So the point is this. You just keep reading. So some of this you're going to say, Bro Pat, what are you talking about tonight? I just want you to see, because I'm gonna be able to take what was said here from 17 to 22, all right? And because 23 and 24 talks about the seven lamps and the snuffers and putting the thing out and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to look, why didn't God make this smooth? But God did something to show you today. This goes back before the writing of the law. This goes back before David. This goes back, Moses is going to write the first 5 books. So the majority of the Old Testament hasn't been written. The New Testament, in all honesty, hasn't even been thought of in man's mind. In God's mind, it's already a done deal. But this was long before us holding a Bible in our hands tonight. But I want you to see how important it was for God to give you and I light. Because the world we live in is getting exceedingly darker and darker and darker. And you better, I hope you ran to the light somewhere today. Because if you didn't run to the light, then you had I'm not going to say it the way I'd like to say it, you had a bad day. But when you read this, here's what you find. You find 3 branches to one side, 3 branches to another side. In every one of those branches, there were 3 clusters, this bowl, this knop, and this flower. There were 3 clusters of three clusters. Stay with me. 3 clusters of 3 in each branch. So if I'm just going to look at one side, if I just do the math, I remember it wasn't smooth. God could have made it smooth and I wouldn't be able to see any of this. 3 clusters of 3, so you had 3, 6, 9. Each individual piece. But they were clustered together, a bowl, a knop, and a flower. 3 clusters of 3 in each branch, so you had 9, you had 3, 6, 9, okay? 369, 369. Three nines are what? 27. Come on, you math geniuses. I even knew that, all right? You had the same thing on the other side. You had three clusters of three, three clusters of three in each of these branches. So you had 369, 9, 9, 9, 3 nines of 27. You've got 9, 9, 9, 3 nines of 27. Well, 27 and 27 is 54. 54. How's that help me? But you know what you had in the main shaft? You had four clusters of three. Four clusters of three. Three fours are 12. You know what 54 and 12 is? Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." That's what David said. Here's the reason we go to the extremes we do around here in teaching, preaching, singing, talking, counseling from the Bible. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Amen. I don't have the candlestick, matter of fact, well, you know, like this one. But you know what God did? God designed this candlestick in such a way that he told the world, even before the Old Testament. Do you know the Hebrew Old Testament only had 24 books? It didn't have 39. Now, it did have 39, but they coupled books together. Josephus even said, even coupled a few more together and ended up saying it was 22. But they didn't have the Gentile breaking apart of the books like we do. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. They just lumped some things together. Same books, don't misunderstand me now. Same books. But yet God's dealing with the nation of Israel with this. They only ended up having 24, maybe 22, but let's say for our sake of teaching tonight, 24. They only ended up with 24 books in their own, same as ours, only they didn't do the dividing that God had men divide for the Gentile church so that we would understand things better as Gentile believers. The New Testament, 27 books, they didn't have a clue about any of that. But do you know what God did? Hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of years before the Bible was complete, he told you where your light was. Boy, you better appreciate that tonight. You better appreciate that. I appreciate a lot of things in my life. I honestly do. I appreciate my church family. I appreciate my Savior. I appreciate a whole bunch of things. As the sign on our wall says, there is always, is it always, 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 or something, something, something? I forget now. There's always, always, always something to be thankful for. Okay. But you know what I'm thankful for tonight? This blessed old book that I hold in my hand. It's true from beginning to end, and I don't know the rest of the words, so I'll stop. This blessed old book.
Amen. Amen.
It's good to come in here and hear good preaching. When I'm not doing it, it's always good preaching. I love to hear my pastor. I love to hear my guys. I love to hear Joe Sylvester. I just love it. But you want to know something? Then I have to go home. And I got to sit down with my beloved. We got to sit down. If this is all you're getting, you know what I do? I bring the light to church. And I take the light home. I hope you take the light home with you. Amen. I hope you read it. You know what God did? I mean, he could have made that candlestick smooth. You realize, why did he have bowl, knob, flower? Give me a break, God. But I read the book enough that all of a sudden some good men around me said, you know what that means, right? And some men taught them and some men taught them and all the way back the Holy Spirit of God. That's what church is all about. It's so that you can get to understand the light. Because this little square thing, do you ever stop and think about this? Just stop and think about this. This thing rules the world. Sometimes I just have to stop and say, oh God, thank you. Thank you, thank you. I'm glad I went from the wrong side. God said, I'm glad I took you from the wrong side to the right side, because this thing rules the world. And man doesn't believe that. You may not believe that tonight. You may not believe that. You may think you've got all the answers. I don't know what rock you just climbed out from underneath, but I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, and I'll tell you what, the world's a mess. The world's unfolding just like this Bible. I think it was, I forget which one of those old saints said, give me a Bible and a candle and shut me up in a dungeon and I'll tell you what's going on in the world. You've got the light. God gave us 60. And do you know what he did? Because that ends up being 66. All right, 66. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now we know these. Once again, if you've been here any length of time, you've heard these verses. But just because there's religions, there's a very large religious population on Staten Island. It is the predominant next to even, let's just say it next to Judaism. It's probably the predominant religion in the entire world. You've got Roman Catholicism. You've got Judaism, you've got the Muslims. Do you know everyone? You and then you've got cults, you've got Mormons, but every one of those will add something to. Remember, we read of one beaten piece. So God was going to take 66 pieces of that candlestick, because that's what it ended up being. If you read that and just read it slowly and look at that picture any length of time, that's what you're going to find. You're going to find there were 66 of those pieces, but it was one beaten piece. That's why you need to read more. Nothing wrong with reading all the book of Proverbs and all the book of Psalms. But there are 64 other books that need to be read. You say, hey, I'm not going to lie to you. I work, every time I get to Ezekiel, I work my way through Ezekiel. It's getting better. My peanut brain doesn't wrap around certain things, and God knows that, but he didn't tell me, here's what God never told me. He didn't tell me one night, well, since you're stupid, I'm going to give you a pass. You just don't need to read that book, and don't read that book, and don't read that book. No, he said, just keep reading. Keep reading. Because it's one beaten piece and the connective tissue. We just went back into the tabernacle with one piece of furniture and found your Bible. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Because you've got religions that want to say, okay, we'll accept the Bible, but we're going to add something to this and we're going to add something to that. And one religious organization, they're run by the councils, and they're not. They'll claim they believe the scriptures, but the only things they ever read is the gospels, and they don't even read the whole gospels. They read just a piece here. Then you've got Judaism, and you've got every other religion, and they're always adding something. You got the Mormons or the cults who are always adding something too. But you know what the candlestick had? That was the only light in that tabernacle. You do realize you're a tabernacle, right? That's what Peter called us. He said we were a tabernacle. Paul would say we're the temple. But the only light that came into that building, that tabernacle, into that holy place, the only light came from that candlestick. So it's important that we see again, this isn't new stuff, this is old stuff. But you know what? I've eaten meatloaf more than once. I happen to like meatloaf. My wife makes some killer meatloaf. I know you guys don't. I know you like high-end dining. I happen to like Cracker Barrel. Amen. I get some amens from God's people. Right in the middle of, right in the heart of New York City. All right. Now, I know we're fine dining people around here. But you know what you ask my wife, when I go to Cracker Barrel, 9 times out of 10, man, you know what I get? A good piece of meatloaf, man. Now, I know I'm Midwest to the bone when it comes to some of that stuff. But you know what? I've eaten meatloaf over and over and over. I don't know if there's ever been a message. I don't want to say this wrongly, but after a while, you pretty much know the next point that the guy's going to, okay? And that's not a good thing or a bad thing, but you've just been saved a while, and you read your Bible yourself. But you know, I never get tired of hearing these stories. I never get tired. Tell me the story of Jesus. I hope on my deathbed, God gives me a little bit of dispensation. And I'm able to look up to somebody. I don't care who it is, wife, baby, kids, grandbabies, you maybe. I hope I get the one last breath to just say, oh, please tell me the story of Jesus one more time. And then God says, that's it, let's go. And I step into his presence. And the story gets told over and over and over by the King of Kings himself. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look at verse number 2. God said, I'm going to end up giving you 66 parts to your candlestick. I'm going to give you a Bible. It's going to have. And why would that be important to God? Because in verse number 2, it says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. God was going to put that in a book. Just another one. We know these go to chapter 12, verse 32. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. As the world gets more confused and the world's getting darker, it is. We've said some things to our congregation. Those of us who are aging now, getting into our 60s, working on, some of our folks are in their 70s. Grandma Hutter's in her 90s. I can remember being a teenager, and I'm going to be honest with you, I got into trouble. I wasn't saved. Not proud of it. You don't need to know what I got into. It's a shame to even. See, I read my Bible, Book of Ephesians. You ought to try reading it. It says it's even. I don't want to hear about how many people you hurt, how many women you had, how many times this, how many times that. You know what the Bible says in the Book of Ephesians? It's even a shame to speak of those things that are done in darkness. It's a shame to speak of those things. I don't speak of them anymore. I may allude to the fact that I wasn't saved. But that whole idea of, and I just lost my train of thought, and I'm glad I did because God didn't want me to go there. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 12. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto nor diminish from it. God gave you light. God gave you a candlestick with 66 parts to it, made up of one piece. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. As the world gets darker, I knew where I was going. As the world gets darker and darker, you're going to need that book more. You've always needed it. Pastor had said something, it brought something to my mind when you know, we're pretty close in age when we were in high school. Yes, I got into sin, not proud of it. But you know, I had to hunt for it. I had to hunt for it. It was easily accessible, but it wasn't in my face. You know, there were certain parts of town that you knew if you wanted that, you'd go to that certain part of town. Now I just walk across the street and I can get it in the housing complex right across the street from me. Whatever I want, it's over there. I want a tattoo, I just go up there. I mean, you know the tattoos used to be where the whores and the thieves hung out? That's where the tattoo parlors used to be. You say, are you preaching against tattoos? That's your business. But they didn't have a tattoo parlor in a good neighborhood. That's just the God's truth, even in the Midwest. You gave up preaching and you started picking fight. It's good to pick a fight every once in a while. Boy, I like it when it gets quiet in here. Oh, glory to God. But you know, you don't have to hunt for sin anymore. You hold it in your hand. And it's not the Bible, it's your phone.
That's right.
Joe Silvestri was telling us of a couple, not part of their church. They just came, knocked on their door, said, "We'd like, can you talk to us? My husband and my wife here, can you talk to us?" So they sat down at their table. You've ever been in their house? There's not an office, it's just you sit down at the kitchen table. And they started to unload, and Joe and Karen started to counsel. And she accused her husband of being hooked on pornography. He said, "No, I'm not." She said, "Yes, you are." She said, "No." He said, "No, I'm not. It's not on my computer." She said, "It might not be on your computer, but it's sure on your phone. Give me your phone." Sure enough, it's on his phone. Oh, beware your sin will find you out. Okay? Do you know what the Bible does? The Bible reveals things. The Bible sheds light. Do you know why? You know why people don't like the Bible? Because it sheds light. Okay. And somebody like me or my pastor, when we preach like this, people think we're mad, we're angry men. That we're just, you know, we're trying to convince people. We're angry. No, we're not angry. You preach this Bible, it's gonna shed light. It's gonna tell you where things are right,
that's right,
and where things are wrong. And I have the choice. But keep this in mind. Without that piece of furniture, that candlestick, when those believers, when those priests went into that holy place, that was the only light they had. When you close that book, you're in darkness, believer. You're living in darkness. You say, "I'm saved." Good for you. That means you get into heaven. But how about the next 50 years that God leaves you down here? I made a choice many, many years ago. I'm not going to live in darkness. I'm not going to live in darkness. I'm not going. I'm going to take what God did for me, and I want to see if this thing works. But I'm not. I refuse to live in darkness. So I say, "Lord, you know I'm stupid, dumb as dirt, ugly as sin. But I want to know. I'm reading Ezra again today, and I'm reading Nehemiah. So Lord, I just want to know. I want to know who you are. I want to know." You might be at that place where, "Lord, give me something to do." That's a good place to be. But you better start with, "Who art thou, Lord?" You better find out who he is, because what you're doing may be absolutely wrong with the good intentions you have. Deuteronomy, where am I at? Go to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. God gave us light. Proverbs chapter 30. Kid growing up in the Midwest, there were certain places that just blatant sin didn't go. Don't kid yourself, there's always sin. There's sin everywhere. But today, you and I, let me tell you what, you need light more than you've ever needed it in your entire life. You just do. Because sin is so commoner anymore. Nobody knows right from wrong. That was the book of Isaiah. They were calling evil good and good evil. That's what we're at today. And you have to know that bleeds into God's local church. Go to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 6 with me. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse number 6 just says, "Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Go to Revelation chapter 22. Four times, Revelation 22. Now, when we come in here, Had a man say many, many, many years ago that he, when he comes to church, he wants to hear something new. And I mauled that over at the time. But you know what this place is? It's been called a hospital. It's been called an incubator. Both of those are viable likenesses, aren't they? But you know what this place, we've got a host of, I mean, God's been good to us. There's been new babes. There's people gotten saved. And you may be like me who've been saved 45 years. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Please don't take this wrongly. Please don't take this wrongly. But it sounds pretty bad to even say this. I don't need my pastor to feed me every time I come in here. I get fed. I get something because I'm looking for something. You get what you're looking for. But I get excited when I look across the way and somebody's struggling to find verses. Because you know what it does? It reminds me of what I was like 45 years ago. Just preacher, pastor, slow down. I can't find the verse. I want to see it myself. You know what this place is? We need to feed some babies. We take care of our babies, all right? We take care of our middle-aged people, all right, as far as Christ is concerned. Go to Revelation 22. Look at verse, 18 and 19. 18 and 19. So from beginning to end, God has told us not to add. Look at 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, this is and it is specifically talking about the revelation here. God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. What I want you to see there is from beginning to end, you know what was important to God? It was important to God that you'd have a candlestick, you'd have beaten all of one piece, but it had 66 parts. 66. God's always wanted to divide the light from the darkness. Can I take you to Psalm chapter 43? Psalm chapter 43. Just want to look at these verses. I've got a few here. I've got you in Psalm 43. Psalm 43. If ever anybody is sweating like I'm sweating, maybe you can kick those back doors open. Maybe that's a good idea at this point. Who knows? Look at Psalm 43. I just want you to see. I want to read 1, 2, and 3, but the focus is on 3. Because God puts two things together. Thank you, dear brother. God puts two things together. He says, judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Now watch verse 3. O send out thy light and thy truth. You know what light is? In the context of Jesus Christ, the context of the Word of God, it's truth. You take this light, and God's going to give you truth. I said something to Christian when he was here that one day. I remember walking over to him and putting my hand on his shoulder, and I said, in 2 hours, you're going to get more truth here than you probably have gotten in your entire life. I didn't know that to be true. But that is the truth many times. Amen. You walk into this place and it isn't magical. But if you want the truth, right here it is. It's in your hands. It's in your hands, folks. You know, this is not the... You see, if God had put the cookies, in my simplistic thinking, you know what God did with the cookies? He put the cookies on the bottom shelf so that a dummy like me could walk in and feast on the cookies. If he'd have put them way up here, some of you guys, like Brian over here, over 6 foot, he reaches up and he gets the cookies, but what? I'm only 5'7", and I'm old and I'm fat. When the cookies are way up here, I can't get them. I got arthritic hands now, my knees, the bone. It's like, I'm lucky to put my pants on right in the morning. It's like, you ought to see me on Sunday morning. This is storytelling. It's got nothing to do with preaching. Depending on the morning, I got my white shirt on, I buttoned it up, I got my tie on, I do my tie in the hallway mirror, and then all of a sudden I'm supposed to put my collar down. Everything's like this. It's like Sunday morning, you gotta look nice on Sunday morning. The rest of the week it doesn't care. But he's like, you can look like you're homeless. It doesn't make a difference. Which I do most of the time. But all of a sudden I realize, I can't put my collar down. I'm always walking downstairs and saying, baby, put my collar down, will you? She's got to live forever. This queen's got to live forever because I'd never be able to put my collar down. Now, that's got nothing to do with nothing, but go to Psalm. Send out thy light and thy truth. Can I take you to, God says truth and light. God put the cookies on that bottom shelf so that you and I could feast on this light. Let me say this to you, mommy, young female believer with a lost spouse, male believer with a lost wife. I said this to a young mommy now. She wasn't a mommy at the time, years and years and years and years ago. I said, don't you let anybody keep you away from the Word of God. Don't you let anybody. Read it. If he doesn't want to sit down and read with you, you read it anyhow. If she doesn't want to sit down and read with you, you read it anyhow. Read it. If you got to sit in the car, boys used to make fun of me. I'd go to work, sit in front of the kiddies' flowers 2 hours before they opened up the shop. Why in the world are you sitting there for 2 hours before they open up the shop? Because I've got to read. And I can't read at home because I got a 155-pound Rottweiler that always wants to be a lap dog. So I get in the car and I drive down there and I get me my coffee and I get me my Danish and maybe a newspaper too, but I'll sit there for an hour or so, hour and a half, and I'll read. And I'll read. And I'll read. You know why? Because I have to. Because I want light. I want light. Go to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 20. You see, it boils down to what you want out of life, folks. You want to know something? Let me take you back to pre-1975. Late 60s, pre-1975. Vietnam War still raging. Kent State University. Kids have been killed on the campus by National Guardsmen. Kent State University, whose fault it was. Oh, history will always spin it a certain way. But there was a church that was preaching the gospel, many churches back there. We were a part of one of them. And Mel had the college and career age kids. Never forget this, watching these guys come in. I'd gotten saved in 1970. And these guys would come in and they were coming off of college campuses. They were strung out on LSD. But some of their friends had gotten saved and their lives got changed. You know, just like Matt's life. Many of yours, mine, and these guys would come in and they'd be coming off of LSD, but they looked like they had just been drug out of a pit. Hair way down. I never saw men with more beautiful hair than any woman, man. Beautiful hair all the way down. You ought to ask Joe Silvestri one time if he still got it. Show me the picture, your picture. He used to carry it in his wallet. Show me your picture before you were saved. He had beautiful hair. You wouldn't know that now. None of us would. He used to have hair down to his butt. Guys come in, man, psychedelic, this, colors like the rainbow, man. You know, no sleeves, haven't washed in 3 weeks. you know, beard scraggly, teeth rotten from LSD. They come in and they get saved. And I watched something. Some of the deacons in that church, they got a hold of Mel and they said, you know, you need to clean up some of your boys here. You know what Mel told them? You stay away from my boys. He said, I'm going to let the Word of God, if the Word of God's big enough to save them, the Word of God's big enough to clean them up.
Amen.
And this am one of them.
Amen.
Okay. You say, well, what do I have to give up? Here's what you have to give up. Give up about an hour of your time every day just to read this book. Just read it. And I can guarantee you, I didn't give up anything. You know what they started to do for me? They started to give me up.
Yeah,
you know, things just started to drop off. And they're still dropping off. Because you see, I gave up the Pall Malls long time ago. And I gave up things. I mean, you talk about giving up. But you want to know something? There's things way down deep inside. Like pride. Like a fiery temper. Like vengeance. Ooh, that's a tough one. See, I was raised on the principle that I was too small. My daddy told me, he wasn't any bigger than I was. My daddy told me, you're too small to fight fair. You wait till the guy turns his back, pick up a rock, and just hit him in the back of the head with it. Whoever, do you ever read a book on street fighting? It's not fair fighting. You do everything you can do to win. That's how I grew up. Now, my daddy wasn't a fighter. But you know what, going back to that story, these guys would come in and they were rough, man. And some of those deacons wanted Mel to clean them up. And Mel was just convinced, if I just get them into the book and they get a steady diet of it, and you know what happened? It started to clean all of us up. Now, my brother pastor and I sit in this place, he after 22 years being pastor, and you know what we've seen? We've seen the same thing.
Amen.
Same thing, because it cleaned him up, it cleaned me up, it's cleaning this up.
Amen.
Renewing your mind. You know why I have to read the Bible? Because my mind is screwed up. You think you got a corner on the market to cool. You think you got a corner on the market? Good night. Some of us doing things long before we even thought about doing them. Because you know what? This thing gets screwed up. And the more garbage you put into it, the harder it is. I get on my hands and knees and pray, and all of a sudden something evil pops in. I say, Lord, I really want to pray right. Forgive me, Father. Can you just help me to get past that? And then you keep praying. But it's there. And you keep pouring the light in and pouring the light in. Go to Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. So to you young Christians, we're here for you. We want you to succeed in this. We don't want you to succeed in being a member, whatever that is, of First Bible Church. We don't even have a membership here. We won't tell you what to give. But we want you to succeed in your growth pattern in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We want you to go from a baby who desires the sincere milk of the Word to the point where you can go to Exodus 38 and after years maybe, or maybe 9 years, I'm a slow learner, and look at this thing and say, holy moly, that's the Word of God. Because that'll change. You don't think that stuff will change your life.
Amen.
Him and I have been partnered up here a long time, and we know each other pretty well. This thing will change your life.
Amen.
And if you think you can't get victory, you listen to me. You think you can't get victory over things? You've just defeated yourself already. The victory's already been won.
Amen.
It's already been won. Claim it. Don't go out of this place a pauper. Realize you're now a prince in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You can get victory. Victory, you've already gotten victory. Just walk away from it.
Amen.
Struggle with a haircut? Good night. What do you think, man? I'll give you a Bic. Some of you need a Bic. Just shave it off. It ain't no big deal. Where's my pen at? I don't have my pen. Here's amazing. This isn't preaching. This is meddling. Here's a Paul Mall. You know what? To this day, I can still taste the Paul Mall. Driving some of you crazy right now. Then you take a real, you got to take a real deep, good deep breath. Now I've absolutely driven some, I'm not driving you crazy, am I, Mikey? Did you ever stop thinking about this? Now come on, get real. We're family here. We're a bunch of friends. At least I think I got two or three of you. Got one Paul Mall. Think about this. This is ruling your life. This is bigger than your God. This is boss. My brother just said it. This is boss. This little piece of paper with some tobacco in it that's got 43,000 carcinogens in it. This is your boss. You want this more than your walk with Jesus Christ. And I went from cigarettes, I went to cigars, I went to the pipe until it dropped on in a big vat of oil. And I thought, oh my God just got drowned by a vat of oil. And I took my, I'm in the middle of a bearing factory, I'm in a steel mill. I take my jacket off, my shirt off, I get naked from the waist up, look around, and see if any foremen are around. And I, you know what I did? I reached way down there, all the way up to the armpit, 55 gallon of bearing oil, because I had to get my God. Then I took it home, and my dad was a smoker. So I said, Pop, what do I do with this thing? He says, throw it away. I can't throw my God away. He said, throw it away, Pat. There ain't no fixing that thing. He didn't call it a God, but there ain't no fixing that one. It's gone. But you know what? You know, it's amazing what controls our life. You say you're picking a fight. No, we're just talking. We're just talking. You know how I talk. I'm a little salty. Okay, he's sugar, I'm salt. That's okay, that's good. Works together. You need a little sugar, you need a little salt. All right, all right. Makes the meal a good meal. All right, but it's amazing what controls our life. Say it again. Help, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hey, yeah. You know what I'm beginning to see? I'm not going to applaud any of you young men, because when we start patting each other on the back, somebody's going to fall. But you know what encourages me? When I see these bunch of young guys and young girls just getting a hold of things, life, some of them not even married yet, and they want to get to know Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what, just so you know where we're coming from, you'll keep me going. This body may want to retire, but you'll keep me going. Because it's working, folks. This thing is working. People get saved, and they want to come back to church. Then they want to come back to church again. And it reminds me of my wife and I. And I couldn't get enough of the place. Because I was hungry. I was thirsty. I lived in darkness for 20 years. Some of you have lived in darkness way longer than me. But I lived in it long enough to know I don't like it anymore. I don't like it anymore. Give me the light. Amen. Isaiah chapter 8. I got a watch. I don't pay any attention to it. This is the first time I've worn a watch on my wrist in a whole long time. I'll quit here in a moment. Go to Isaiah chapter 8. Go to Isaiah chapter 8 and just predominantly look at verse number 20. Now we know that Isaiah, the children of Israel, the northern tribes went into an Assyrian captivity. The southern tribes went into a Babylonian captivity. And Isaiah's writing pre all of that, and they're working their way into captivity. But I want you to just look at Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 20. He says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, Isaiah's writing, it is because there is no light in them. That's a great verse. So if somebody wants to give you something that doesn't line up with the Scriptures, run as fast as you can, because there's no light in them. Because remember, according to Corinthians, Satan can transform himself into an angel of light. He's also a roaring lion. But perhaps to our society of intellectual prowess around here, and you get into a third world country where, you know, the roaring lion is fitful. But to us, it's not so much the roaring lion, it's the angel of light. We've mixed Christianity with just about everything. Now you can have Christian psychics. Now you can have Christian witches. Now you can have Christian whatever you want to have Christian. And when I read my Bible, it says, listen, if they don't speak according to this book, then there is no light in them.
Amen.
No light. Now, let's just say perchance you don't agree with that. Here's my suggestion to you. You don't have to take my word for it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to deliberately do something. I want you to start reading the Bible. And I can guarantee you it's going to give you light. And it's going to tell you, okay, don't couple with that person. And don't go there. And don't go there. And don't do that. And you see, he's not sitting here, but I told a young man, I discipled him, I coached him on a few things for months, and he'll even admit this, I never told him yay or nay on anything. I said, just read your Bible. And God was amazing. He read his Bible, and he came across with the right answer the next time we got together. Go to look at Isaiah chapter 9. Now, he has just told them in Isaiah chapter 8, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now watch chapter 9, because somebody appears in chapter 9. Somebody appears. Nevertheless, in verse number 1, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation. Please just, without trying to explain all this, but just watch where this thing goes. When at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, all right, Israel, and afterwards did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan and Galilee of the nations. Now watch where this goes. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor as in the day of Midian. Now watch where this is going. Verse number 5. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Now watch verse 6. Because he has just talked about the people walked in darkness, but they've seen a great light. You know, a great light beyond the sun and beyond the moon went to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. For unto us a child... He's been talking about light and darkness. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The son is Christ, the child there is Jesus. The child was born, the son was given. You see, the son was not born. The child was born, the son was given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. What I want you to see here is that's the light, beloved. The light, the light, the light. Can I take you just to one more place? Go to the book of Ephesians with me. If you'll stay in the scriptures, God will give you light. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Galatians, Ephesians chapter 5. God deliberately constructed that one piece of furniture, we'll call it furniture, in that tabernacle to give them light. When that priest walked in, that was the only light in that inner building, that inner compartment. And those lights never went out. Those flames never went out. They were not supposed to. They never went out. But that was the only light they had. And all of this carving of one piece ended up having 66 parts. Ain't that just a little strange? You see, what you have in your hands is God. God in words. I don't have Him physically any longer. Soon we will. And I have His Holy Spirit living within me. I don't even understand that, but that's what the light tells me. I know something's different. I can't always understand how it happened. You can't even explain a physical birth, let alone a spiritual birth. How God at a moment can take a man or a woman who's walking in one direction, not even searching for God, and God stops them. Look at Ephesians. You have light tonight. Light. I'm going to read just verses 8, 13. Matter of fact, let me just start with verse number 8. Now he's writing, obviously, to believers. Verse number 1 says, "Be ye therefore followers of God, even as dear children." So he's writing to people who have come to a saving knowledge. But look at verse number 8. "For ye were sometimes darkness." I just want you to notice something there. Notice, I'm reading Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 8. I want you to notice it did not say, "For ye were sometimes in darkness." That's true. But you know what we were prior to being saved? We were darkness. You say, "I didn't hurt anybody." Well, I applaud you. "I didn't molest anybody." I applaud you. "I help people." I applaud you. But outside of Jesus Christ, you see, I have to go back to what the light tells me. Outside of Jesus Christ, we were darkness. That's what it says. "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk." Now what? Oh, look what it says. "Walk as children of light." Oh God, please help me to walk as a child of light. I think if there's anything that grieves my own spirit the older I get, is my own struggle. But there's so much darkness in our lives. And the scriptures would even say in the book of Luke, I think it's Luke 11, we won't go there, talks about having no part darkness. I made comment to nobody's walking on water around here. There's always that one little thing in our lives that we just won't surrender. We won't. "I'm a man. I need to walk away from that mentality." Stupid. My Jesus was a man. You know what drew me to Jesus Christ? that he was a man. He was a man. You say, men are supposed to fight back. Yeah, right. My Savior did. If he'd have fought back, he could have called 10,000 angels. He would have never gone to Gethsemane. And you and I would be condemned forever. Condemned. But because he was the God-man, all God and all man, he looked beyond himself. You know what men do? Let me tell you what men do. They look beyond themselves and they lay their lives down in sacrifice for the good of somebody else. That's what a man really does. Isn't how well you can fight or how well you can do anything. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. I just want to read verses 13 and 14 now. But all things that are reproved, oh, here we go. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Look at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Light. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. When I read something, I don't care what dispensation it's in, I'm going to say, Lord, what light can I get out of that? What light? What light? You say, well, we're not under the law. Okay, then let's take Malachi to the front. Just rip the Bibles in half. Let's just be a New Testament church. We won't ever speak of the Old Testament. This is nonsense. But you know what we just did here? We went back into the Old Testament. And God gave us light. God gave us light. So the next time you and I want to do something, and I know there's a portion of Scripture in the Old Testament that says don't, we'd be wise to don't. We'd be wise to don't. Why? Because I'm not darkness anymore. I'm light. Walk as children of light. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.